Nice to be back. I'm going through this tornado tonight with media challenge, so I'm happy I'm late.
Well, you know, you have to explain that where you were in the intervening weeks, you know that.
Oh, I don't know.
It's okay, I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'm trying to keep out of trouble.
Okay. It's okay.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Baruch Hashem.
And you'd be based to feel like a competition for you tonight, which I was considering going, and I said no.
What?
I just gave it.
I ran it.
Who's Rabbi Enkin?
Oh, Rabbi Enkin, that's not for women. It's not for women. There's no place for women to sit and hear him.
I saw it written
down. No. There's a shiur every Sunday night.
So I am going to come here tonight.
Okay. So you saw the email about a special edition. So we're not going to be learning Chavos Halvavos tonight. We're going to try to implement the things that we're learning about. Meaning, he talks about Te'ora Sichlis, how the real value of the mitzvah ultimately is understanding what we're doing. You know, I saw the chinuch. I said it over in shul yesterday. No, did I say it? I don't remember if I said it in shul in the drasha. The chinuch. You know, the chinuch is always the address I send people to. To learn, to start learning about what the Chavos Halvavos called Te'ora Sichlis. You know, what's the value of the mitzvah? How does it make me a better person? How does it connect me to Hashem? Like, what does Hashem care if I do this? Why does that make me a better person? Why does it make me a better person, either spiritually in any way? If I wave the four species, if I hear a shofar, if I don't drink milk and eat meat together. What does that do for me? So I always send people to the chinuch. That's the first stop. On a basic level, you learn chinuch in every mitzvah. And so it's very interesting what he writes in his introduction, why he's doing it. Because he's saying, I'm not really plumbing the depths of the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are, you know, connected to Hashem. And they're esoteric. And there's so many reasons for them. And they represent spirituality in this world, and we imbue physical things with spirituality when we do mitzvahs. Like, there's so much involved. What am I sitting here giving you reasons that may at times sound childish to you? What am I doing this for? Why did I write the sefer for? I never said. He says, because we have a problem, the youth in the park, he says. He doesn't say the park. Mm-hmm. He says, we have a problem with the youth that they want to... He says, Shabbos afternoons. Shabbos afternoons, they have nothing to do. So you tell them to learn, and they don't have any enjoyment in learning. They don't understand what they're learning. It doesn't appeal to them intellectually. And they start enjoying themselves in other ways, he says. And then they start doing things, and you say, well, you know, you're not allowed to do this. And they say, why are you not allowed to do this? I don't want to just, because you're telling me, I don't want to just be a robot and listen to what you tell me. I want to understand why. Explain to me. So some people don't know what to answer them. So we're losing the youth, he says. So I'm going to write a sefer, I decided. We're not even sure who wrote the chinuch, by the way. It's one of the mysteries of history. And there's a lot of speculation. Did this one write it? That one write it? So he's certainly a Rishon. He certainly lived sometime after the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam. And he's certainly a Rishon. He certainly lived before. Being a Rishon means he lived before the time of the Beis Yosef. He certainly lived around the time of the Rashba or the Ramban or the Ritva. If these names, like the Beis Yosef, has already starts the shift in history to what we call Achronim. But he's certainly a Rishon. We're not quite sure who it is. He didn't write his name. So they speculate. A lot of essays have been written bringing proofs from different things he says as to his identity. Anyway, but he writes that's why he wrote the chinuch. So it's very, right, he wrote the chinuch so that people shouldn't do mitzvahs robotically, and he especially addresses the youth going off the derech. It's really funny. He says, Because the reason they go off the derech is because they don't have any pleasure out of doing mitzvahs or out of learning Torah, because they don't see any value in it. And you, but I'm going to write a sefer that's going to explain to them, explain to all of us, so we'll have what to talk to them and how to convince them that they stand to gain a lot by doing mitzvahs. That's very interesting chinuch. Okay, so I figured I'll use the sefer that I recommended. I saw some, it is in English. Doesn't exist in English. I thought it did, and I was right. It exists in English. So if you ever want to purchase it, you could. So I figure we'll learn about, we probably won't get to everything by a long shot, but we'll learn about chametz and about matzah and about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We'll take those three mitzvahs. So we'll start with, I think, chametz. Okay, so, I mean, it's usually, the sefer goes through the dinim and the psukim and the bracha and everything you want to know and a lot that you don't want to know about. I'm skipping the whole Korban Pesach. I mean, there's a lot of mitzvahs about the Korban Pesach, which, you know, if we'd have a class and we'd be learning every night, so there would be time. So we'll start with matzah. Let's start with chametz. It's very, very linked. Okay, so there's a mitzvah of destroying a chametz, and here's the section where he talks about the reasons. That's what we want to. The reasons are not reasons. We will never plumb the depth of a reason for a mitzvah. When you say the word reason, it really means the value that's being imparted to us. Why Hashem chose to impart this value this way, and that, you know, we probably will never know that. If it was up to us, maybe we would think of what we think is better ways to impart this value. So that's not a reason that's going to, you know. It's like saying, why does a person have two eyes? You know, so say, well, we think he might be better off with three eyes. You know, you have an eye in the back of your head. It's very useful. You get like a little windshield wiper, like in the cars, you know. It's very useful to have peripheral vision. That's useful. But it's also useful to have an eye in the back of your head. So, but we believe that this is the perfect way to be, with two eyes and two ears and two nostrils. And one mouth, that the Gemara says, don't talk so much. That's the message. And, you know, and two hands and two feet. Everything's two, except for the mouth. And so we believe that's the best way. So you have to believe that the best way to impart the values is the way Hashem said. That we just believe that. We don't start thinking, you know, if it was up to me, I think it would be much easier. I don't have to go light a candle for a Hanukkah night. That's the Rabbanon, okay, but why don't I just buy a full page here in the New York Times? Isn't that more Pirsumei Nisa? So we don't go there. So when we say a reason, it's really just we want to figure out what value is being taught. So we'll start with, okay, he talks, not sure. You see, there's five mitzvahs with chametz. There's the iser to eat chametz, and the mitzvah to destroy chametz, and the iser not to have chametz. Alright, let's go in order. Let's talk about the mitzvah to destroy chametz. Now that's weird. We don't find any other object except for Avodah Zarah that there's a mitzvah to destroy. We have other things that are usur bahanah. We have things you're not allowed to eat, things you're not allowed to benefit from, but the mitzvah to search and destroy, go on a search and destroy mission, like we do with our chametz, is only by Avodah Zarah. So, like, something weird about this. So, in the mitzvah of destroying chametz, the first reason given that he brings down, which we'll pass over, pun intended, very quickly, is that, but there's a value being taught here also. The first reason is that it's really just, you know, midrabbanon we make offense, so we shouldn't violate Torah prohibitions. So the Rabbanon made rabbinical prohibitions, so we shouldn't come to violate Torah prohibitions. So many understand that here the Torah itself does it, and that's a limud in itself, that this is a valuable thing to do, because if we wait until we're bumping up against the Isser, a lot of times then it's too late. And the idea of making, you know, you say I have to go somewhere and I'm going to wake up earlier than I really have to, and you know, you want to make a fence. I know I'm going to be tempted if I go this route, or if I sit next to this person, I'm going to be tempted to talk Lashon Hara, so I make a gedder, I won't even sit now next to this person. So this idea of making gedorim, which we're familiar with as being drabanon, so many hold that the mitzvah to destroy chametz is not because chametz is a substance that really has to be destroyed, it's terrible, destroy it, but it's because since we're so familiar with chametz, we eat it a whole year round, and it's around our house, and in our cupboard, and in our pantry, so it's inevitable. So the Torah itself said that I, Hashem, midioraisa, it's a chiddush to think this way, but that's the first value taught, is that we make a siog. I mean, we're talking now not about, obviously, about the iser to eat chametz. We'll talk about that, mitzvah Hashem, in a few minutes. Now we're talking about the mitzvah to destroy chametz. So the first reason that's given by the commentaries is that here's a case where the Torah itself makes a siog and wants you to get rid of all chametz, and certainly that itself, as I said, is a value, because we sometimes think, you know, oh, it's not us, our children certainly think that way, you know, I'll pull back. I just, my kid last night, I'm not going to get anywhere today, I apologize. So I come home, and you know, I let my kid on the computer, that's something else we have to talk about. I let him, the door's open, I go by, so I walk by and I see he's playing backgammon. So I go, oh, I didn't know you could play backgammon with yourself. Then I, like 10 minutes later, I'm like, wait a second, how do you play backgammon with yourself? I go back and I ask him, this is my kid, he's in Yeshiva Katana. I go, who are you playing backgammon with? She says, I don't know, somebody in the world. Like, I'm playing with somebody, I don't know who. I go, whoa! I said, you're not allowed to do that, I wouldn't let you do that. You can't do that. You know, the person could start talking to you. He says, no. He says, there's a check you make that you can't chat. He says, I checked off the box that I can't chat with him and he can't chat with me. So I said, oh, okay. I said, you need to do that, because there's no way I would let you play if it wouldn't have that feature, because you have to make a siog, you have to make a gedder, I said, because you think you're going to play, you know, and even if he says something to you, you're not going to answer. But you know, he'll say good move, and you'll say thank you. You know, and before you know it, who knows what? I mean, right? So that's called the siog. Now, others say the siog should be not to have a computer in your house, and there's something to be said for that. That's not tonight's discussion. Some say that should be the siog. I'm just saying, you need a siog. You can't wait. One of the things, especially with kids, really with ourselves, with our kids, like, they want to push the envelope. They want to go to the edge, you know? And you can't, because by then the Yetzirah has you in his grasp and he does what he wants with you. And Rabbanon, you know, when we say Midrabbanon, you know, that's like a major part of our lives. Our lives would look completely different without the Rabbanons. We all know that, you know. And sometimes we say, yeah, it's only the Rabbanon. But the Rabbanon instilled this value of a siog into us. And what we see here is, according to these commentaries and the Isser Chametz, you see that. So that's, I thought I would go over it quickly, but then I realized it itself has a siog. It's a value. It's a value to make a siog. And that the Torah made a siog, some say by Nazir you find the same thing, that the reason a Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes or raisins is because of the siog of wine. And really we only care about the wine, but the Torah made a siog, So we siog means a fence. So we find that concept. Okay. Number. What? Yeah, sure.
Does siog also have to do with the reason why?
I'm sorry.
Because it has to do with the reason why some people get rid of the chametz, chametz gummer, everything's gone. Like, is that the same reason?
Well, I always tell the women that first of all they should realize that as they labor to clean the house from chametz, they're doing a mitzvah. And as we learned in the Chavis Halavas, your kavana is transformative. You can be doing a mundane act of drudgery, or you can be doing the Ratzon Hashem. And all it takes is to think, I'm doing this because it's the Ratzon Hashem. And you've transformed the most mundane act of cleaning your closet out into an act of mitzvah, into a spiritual act, into doing the Ratzon Hashem. And that's why when we sell chametz, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to sell the chametz. The mitzvah is to destroy the chametz. That's what this mitzvah is. So, and it's always, if someone asked me today, like, what's more valuable, baltashchis, or someone wanted to give their chametz to the cleaning lady who was not Jewish. Now, there's it's forbidden to give a present to a non-Jew. But really, to your cleaning lady, it's okay, because then she won't, you know, back out on you when you need her the most, which is when they always back out on you. And you give her a present, and so that's not called a present, because it's not a freebie. You're really doing it to win her, which you're not doing anyway, but we think we are. So what's more, but the person who asked me the question, I thought it was problematic. So I said, what's worse, baltashchis, I'll throw the chametz out, or lo sechonim, which is, you're not allowed to give a present to a non-Jew. So I said, it's not chas v'shalom. You're not over baltashchis if you throw out chametz.
Well, what's better, to throw out or to burn it?
That's the same thing. I mean, that's already a technicality. We don't get into that subtlety. But there's no baltashkes with chametz. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. The mitzvah to destroy your chametz. No baltashkes. Okay. Anyway, so that's number one. Now we go to the second thing that's suggested by the Mefarshim. And this is a famous idea that chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. And it's not so clear which Yetzer Hara it represents. In other words, it's a difficult idea, I think, because the Gemara talks about Sa'or Shebe'isa being representative of the Yetzer Hara. And maybe we could ourselves sort of think, you know, here you have this, like it's an agitator. It agitates. And, you know, what does it say, a pasuk in Kohelis? Elokim asas adam yashar, things would be placid and calm, and we would just lead simple lives. And the Yetzer Hara agitates. He agitates us to jealousy. He agitates us to be nervous and not to have bitachon in Hashem. He agitates us to be jealous of others. And this is agitation, and that's l'chora, that's how I understand the simple meaning of the Gemara, which talks about the Yetzer Hara in terms of Sa'or and Chametz. The Gemara uses that. There's a Gemara that uses that phraseology. It's in a Rishon, the Tshuvas HaRadvaz says very explicitly that this is the Yetzer Hara, that Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. And then the Chinuch explains in the mitzvah of not to bring chametz with karbonos, as karbonos. He says, you know, so what about a whole year round? He says, a whole year round, you know, we need the Yetzer Hara. We're living in this world, and we are involved in this world, and we're involved in physical things, and we do physical things. We don't live totally spiritual lives. So you control. Shevuchal aleilos onu ochlim chametz u'matzah. We have both, and we control it, and we limit it, and we have the gedarim of the Torah. What does the Chavis Halvados say? We learned in Chavis Halvados. We learned that the reason Hashem gave the Torah is because if we were left up to ourselves, we would be somewhere in India meditating on a mountaintop and repeating a mantra a couple of hundred times and fasting and sitting on a bed of nails. But Hashem said, no, that's not the way. You're going to live, and this is usur, and this is mutter, and this is allowed, this is not allowed, and I want you to control yourself, and I want you to learn the art of self-control. And so that's, but like, that's good for a whole year. But once a year, when we went out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem said, I'm making you guys the Am Segula. You do not live the way you look like people. You're regular people. Right? You eat, you drink, you get married, you have children. You're regular people, but you're not. You're not. You're an Am Segula. You're a special nation, a holy nation, Mamlechas Kanim B'Vei Kadosh. And Yetzias Mitzrayim is that picking of Bnei Yisrael to be an Am Segula. That's when that's the chosen people, was the process from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. But we became an Am, a nation. The nation of Israel was when we went out of Mitzrayim. So Hashem says, you know what? When you commemorate that coming into being, it's like a rebirth, or the birth of the nation. You have a birth of a person, or the birth of mankind as Chumash Bereishis, and the birth of Klal Yisrael, the Am Segula, and the Mishkan, and like the Matan Torah, the Mishkan is so when you celebrate that birthday, the birthday of the Jewish people. I want you to get rid of the Yetzirah. I want you to realize that this is your essence. Your essence is spiritual, and I don't want any chametz around. I don't want it around, says the Radvaz, because you have to be mevatel the chametz. You have to be mevatel the Yetzirah. You have to consider it valueless, even if you have to deal with it a whole year round, because we're not at the peak of perfection yet. But at least when you're commemorating the birth of the nation, chametz. Now, again, how is chametz the Yetzirah? So this is the Yetzirah. Now, how is chametz the Yetzirah? I suggested one way, in that it's an agitator. And if we were left, Elokim also saw Adam Yashar, and it agitates. It does. Being jealous, I think of being egotistical, of being selfish, of being grabbing, everybody wants their piece of the pie. That's if we be yashar and have bitachon and Hashem, that's one way. Another way that this is spoken about is that it represents gaiva, because it's nothing, it's just flour and water. Like, who do you think you are, you know? But all of a sudden you buy these beautiful challahs in the bakery, and it's the same thing as the lowly matzah that's sitting there. So that's another way. In other words, the general value is that chametz is and this is the most common idea, is that we destroy it because chametz is representative of the Yetzirah. Now, exactly how it's the chametz, that's what I'm saying. I'm suggesting what I call agitation. Sa'or is agitating, and it results in chametz. But it's called Sa'or Shebe'isa. The second suggestion is that it's Gaiva. And the Mitzriyim Ashira Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'o. Rashi says Ki Ga'o Ga'o, Hashem is Geya on the Geyim, on those who are arrogant. And the Mitzriyim are called arrogant. And Paro, we know, said he held himself a god, or he presented himself as a god, and this arrogance is that's like it's certainly possible to view the battle between self-gratification and bittul to Hashem, that we exist to do the Ratzon Hashem. If you look at those concepts as two polar opposites, so it's quite possible that gaiva is the root of sin. Self, what Yiddishkeit is really all about is self negation versus self gratification, and that's chametz. That's gaiva. That's another way in which it would make sense to me that chametz is representative of the Yetzirah. The third way is what I talked about yesterday in shul, is that chametz represents laziness, atzlus, and the opposite of chametz is zrizus. And although that might seem to be a minor point in life, you hit the snooze button, you don't hit the snooze button, I get up a half hour later, an hour later. So But you see, I said yesterday, the Mesilas Yesharim puts it first. When in his walk up the ladder of spirituality, he puts the Zahirus and Zrizus, which he says is essentially the same thing. One's in regard to a lav, and one's in regard to an asay. And if we commemorate Ki b'chipazon yotzasa min Mitzrayim, go. You gotta go. You gotta get out of Mitzrayim. It's time. And you don't delay. Really, that's the simple understanding of chametz and matzah. You open a chumash. You say, oh, what's going on? What chametz? So you open a chumash. And you say, ki garshu min Mitzrayim, v'lo yochlu lehismameya. So you say, like, big deal. Like, you know, it's a historic, you know, it's an interesting sidebar. You know, if you had to write a story in the newspaper, but you'd see us Mitzrayim, you might... Oh, you know, taka. They rushed out. They couldn't even delay. They were thrown out of Mitzrayim so fast they couldn't pack their bags properly. Like, and that's the whole chametz of matzah. Like, it sounds weird. So, according to this, you have to say, yeah, that it's the Yetzer Hara of Atzlus, and you see that the Mesilas Yesharim puts it first. And the way to understand that is by realizing that what holds us back from growing is different kinds of laziness. As the Mesilas Yesharim discusses mental laziness, emotional laziness. We don't want to take a chance. We don't want to grow. We think we'll fail. We don't think we're worthy. We don't think we'll be successful. We are lazy. Yes. And the Yetzer of laziness, it says, we think of 1,000 things we should do. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go help. They don't want my help, and they'll be embarrassed, and besides, I really should do my windows first, and I really promised someone I would go shopping. We can think of 1,000 things. When we get an inspiration to do something good, the Yetzer Hara counters with like 10 or 15 very, very good reasons why we can't do it, why we don't have time to do it, why it's wrong to do. And Atzlus is really, so there's emotional Atzlus, there's intellectual Atzlus, there's physical Atzlus. And Mesilas Yesharim says, you know, stay home, and schlep, get the car, and start the car, and go somewhere. So it's not a small thing. And you see that this dynamic of being chased out of Mitzrayim, and they weren't given time almost to think. Go. Now's the time. Go. And we get inspiration. I'm sure everybody that's listening, everybody in this room gets inspiration at least once a day. You say, you know, I'm really going to go to that shiur in Mr. Schaefer's house Sunday night. Then it comes 9 o'clock and you go, you know, it's really too late. Why don't they make that shear earlier? It's really late at night. I can't get out, and my kids are sleeping finally. My husband's not home, and I got a babysitter. And maybe you can't come, as we see most women can't, the unlucky ones. But sometimes it's laziness. Many times it's laziness. And we are inspired throughout the day. That was a joke, but we are inspired throughout the day, really, to, you know, I'm really going to do something better. I'm really going to talk differently to my husband, to my children. And then we get lazy because it's hard work to change. To change a midah is hard. And according to this approach, which is the approach of the chinuch, and it's and really I think it's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Because why in the world would we commemorate, like, if we'd be reading a novel about Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is like, it doesn't play a major role. I mean, the subplot, maybe, that they were rushed out of Mitzrayim. Like, big deal. Like, you know, and that's the whole chametz and matzah. It's amazing. And it's fascinating how we learn out from the pasuk, Ushmartim es hamatzos, that Chazal tell us, Ushmartim es hamitzos, that mitzvah habo liyotcha, al tachamitzeno. Chazal are telling us there's a value here, there's a higher value. There's a value of chipazon, there's a value of zrizus. There's a value, you know, if you're not careful. You ever been in a matzah bakery? I don't know if they allow women in. Once a year they tell women, you bake a whole year, you know, and once a year they don't trust you. Once a year you got these men who couldn't knead a piece of dough to save their lives. They don't know what to do. They're standing there. I want ladies to need my dough. I don't want.
Women do.
What? In America, they had the Russian ladies. They kept them in the freezer a whole year, and they took them out once a year. And that was a joke. Anyway, then they got frum, and men started doing it, and I started wondering if my matzah was kosher. But there's a mitzvah of ushmartim as matzos, right? Everything, snap. No one delays. You delay 30 seconds with the when the dough's finally ready, and they made the holes in it with the redler, and they're standing by the oven. You delay then 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. They make a whole ruckus, and maybe it's chametz, because it's hot and it's heat and it's So everything's bezrizus, and Chazal extrapolate that mitzvah al tikri matzos ela mitzvos mitzvah haboliyotcha al tachamitzena. Don't delay doing a mitzvah. So you see, Chazal saw in the mitzvah of matzah, and like it's right, the whole Pesach is matzah or chametz. Like that's it. That's so Chazal saw in that the midas zrizus, which it extrapolates to kol haTorah kula. So again, another way of understanding the chametz representing the Yetzihara, and that's why there's a mitzvah to destroy it. And again, this is not, it's on Pesach, because on Pesach I want to bring it together. It should be meaningful, because it's on Pesach that we became an Am Segula, and it's not strange. You say, well, maybe we shouldn't eat, if all this is true, Rabbi Malinowitz, this should be going through your mind. I know it goes through mine. Maybe we should wait for Yom Kippur to not eat chametz, or Rosh Hashanah. Like, what? No. Pesach is when Hashem created. We're very special people. We're an Am Segula. We're spiritual. Really. And this is when, don't eat chametz. You're not regular people with the Yetzer Hara and this. You deal with it a whole year, but I want laboratory conditions on Pesach. And again, this is how the Torah does things. So you say, well, why didn't it tell you to learn Masil Sesharim a whole Pesach? Because the Torah doesn't work that way. The Torah says, I want you to take a piece of matzah. I want you to destroy, we're really learning the mitzvah, to destroy chametz, get rid of all, and that's going to teach us to destroy the Yetzer Hara, because that's what the chametz is. Maybe it's gaiva, maybe it's atzlus, maybe it's agitation, not to be satisfied with simple things, and we want more, we want the dough to rise. It's the opposite of histapkus b'muat. There is a Ramban, which I don't understand. I really shouldn't even say it over, because I don't understand it. But just to show you, the Ramban in Parshas Emor talks about chametz representing din, and we want rachamim. And a whole year round we have chametz umatzah, which is din and rachamim, because Hashem created the world with din and rachamim. But Pesach is like full of ahava and rachamim, and we bask in Hashem's goodness and kindness and love, and like there's no din on Pesach, it's rachamim. And that's what's represented by destroying the chametz and eating the matzah. That's a Ramban. I don't quite understand it. It's a bit Kabbalistic. I'm not quite sure. Like, I don't understand with my mind. Maybe you could help me, that chametz would be din. I'm not quite sure like what that connection is. Why in the Bria that should be true. He brings down Psukim and Tehillim. Elokai paltenim yad roshav mikaf ma'avel v'chometz ki yis chametz levavi v'chil yosai yesh donon. Well, let me quickly go to Mitzvah Achilas Matzah. It's probably going to be b'makbil. So this is what's happening when you're eating the matzah Pesach night. Instead of just looking at the clock when it's going to be chatzos, and worrying if everybody is going to eat the main course, and looking at everybody choking, trying to get that matzah down because they give ridiculous shiurim, and everybody's trying to stuff it down their mouth. I don't know what your seder looks like. I'm just describing my seder. So number one is obviously Kigor Shumi Mitzrayim Below Yochel Lismameya, and now what is that value? So we know, first of all, we're looking at the matzah now, that we want to remember again the chippah zone. So one value obviously could be the opposite of what I said by chametz, that was zrizus. It teaches us zrizus, which is again, it's not a side point. The Masil Sesharim says it's essential to start working on yourself. Again, let me say the sentence again. This is chametz and matzah according to this way of understanding, because that's what the Masil Sesharim says. To start working on yourself, to become a better person, you got to knock out the midah of laziness. That's the biggest impediment to self-improvement, is that we are lazy and we want things to stay the way they are and the way it's always been, and it takes work to improve. It's very a hush of a thing. Matzah, we look at the chipazon. So that's obviously one way of understanding the value taught in the chipazon. Another is, it's a chizuk. And we say, "Even the Hosea Kadosh Baruch Hu of the Sinai Mitzrayim, Einu Vaneinu Bnei Damenu Mishabon Neinu Lakarim Mitzrayim." That when the time of the Geula comes, Hashem doesn't forget us. It's a chizuk of the Geula process. We're living in Golus. We're in Eretz Yisrael, but certainly we are aware that the Geula Shleima has not come, and it will come. It's a tremendous Pesach should make us optimistic and looking forward to a Geula. And things, right? You got Iran, and you got now the guy in the White House. The America is against us, and Europe. You know, we didn't live through the Holocaust, but this is the 30s. This is what do you think? Look around. What do you think's happening? You know, it doesn't take much imagination. After the Six-Day War, which I remember very vividly. So if someone would have come to me and say, you know, it says in the Navi that there's going to be a big Melchama over Yerushalayim, and then Mashiach's going to come. I would have laughed. I said, well, Melchama over Yerushalayim, we're ruling everything. Everybody's scared of the Jews. Everybody runs away when you say the word Jew. They run. But now it's how many years later? 50 years later. And then look at it, you know, everybody's... We're a kevas ben shivim ze'evim, but Pesach, the chipazon, which matzah is, again, the simple pshat in the pasuk, we eat matzah to remember the chipazon, is a tremendous chizuk. When the time of the geula comes, bingo, right? We don't have to, Hashem doesn't forget about us, Hashem didn't forget about us, Hashem has a game plan, we have to be zocher, we have to daven, b'nei Yisrael daven de Mitzrayim, but the chipazon says that the kiyum haftochas Hashem. Right, you can be slaves for centuries, and the Geula will come. Hashem will make it happen. If you want to talk about the state of Israel, not that it's the Geula Shleima, but I certainly believe it's part of the Geula process. If you would realize how unlikely it was that it would ever come into being, that we would be back living in Eretz Yisrael, and the whole infrastructure would be built up with the miracle that's been done here in 100 years. We'll call it 100 years. It's a nice goalie. So what's that? You know, if someone would have said to you in 1850, 1860, 1870, 1880, that this is going to be a thriving country with cell phones, with more cell phones per capita than in the whole world. But Hashem keeps his promises, and look, it's crazy with the League of Nations. I mean, the things that had to happen in the real world, what we call the real world, that Israel, the Medina Israel right now, the country that we live in, should come into existence is unbelievable. So that's matzah. It'll happen, and if Hashem has to rush up the historical process, that's what the Chofetz Chaim's point is, that at the end of history, things that used to take a few centuries will be compacted into decades. It used to take centuries, it takes decades. The historical process that brought Medina Israel into being, the collapse of the Turkish Empire, the League of Nations being formed after World War I, being given the mandate to Palestine, and then parceling it out, and then England got it, and then the Arabs, and then the whole... such a thing would take centuries, you would expect. Chipozon. At the end of history, Hashem's rushing things up because all these things have to happen before the Geula HaAsida. Okay. Part of the Chipozon is the appreciation and the realization that we were chased out of Mitzrayim. Like, who would have thought? You know, when the Berlin Wall fell and the communist Russia held on to the Yidden, who would have thought that they would send them out and give them, you know, allow them to leave Russia? It was an unbelievable nace. No one could believe it. Russia held on to them in the worst possible way. Mamish like Mitzrayim, like Eved. What does it say in the Chazal? Eved would never escape from Mitzrayim. No one escaped from Russia. You couldn't get out. You couldn't move. You couldn't buy anything in a grocery store without them knowing what you're doing. Everybody's spying on you. Your kids are spying on you. Your friends are spying on you. Nobody trusts anybody else. You're not allowed to put on tefillin. You know, crazy. And all of a sudden, before mamash chipozon, and it's a tremendous chizuk to remember that. And that's Yeshua Hashem is terrifying. And in our personal lives, you see, you're supposed to eat the matzah and think about these thoughts. And sometimes in our personal lives, we don't, you know, we have issues, and maybe parnosa issues, maybe children issues, maybe relationship issues, maybe our own personal demons. And you know, Yeshua Hashem is terrifying. All of a sudden, there's a phone call, and a chain of events start. And before you know it, things are moving in the right direction. And so that's all part of the message of the matzah with the chipozon. Another aspect to the matzah is lechem oni. Interestingly enough, the pasuk calls it lechem oni. We say halach ma'anya, the achol basana, and they were given. The Chazal explained because it says it's called lechem oni in the Chumash. And it's supposed to remind us of the Sheba too. It's an anomaly, the matzah. It represents the geula, but that's because kigurshu mitzrayim, and there was no time for the botzek lahachmitz. But in essence, you know, matzah is a poor man's bread. Indeed, like it's rich, puffed up people that eat chametz and challah. And it reminds us of the Shibud and this whole, like, that we were avodim lefaro b'mitzrayim. It's like eating more. Matzah has that aspect to it as well. In some sources in Kabbalah, it's called lachma d'mehemenusa, bread of emuna. And we eat the matzah, and another aspect is v'gam tzeda lo osu lohem. Kigorshu b'mitzrayim lo yochlu d'smameya. They went out without proper provisions. They had a couple of crackers. You know, they picked up, like my kid going to school, grabs a couple of crackers. My wife says, take the sandwich. He goes, no, I don't have time. He grabs a couple of crackers and runs out the door. That's not much what happened in Mitzrayim. And they went out, they weren't properly prepared for the Midbar, and they showed Lechtech Acharei Bamidbar, and we commemorate Emuna, and in Zohar, in Kabbalah, It's just like the sukkah is called tzilo d'mehemenusa, that we bask in under the protection of Hashem. Matzah is called lachmo d'mehemenusa because it represents the emunah that the Jewish people showed when they ran out into the midbar. In some sources, matzah, the Maral talks about matzah teaching us not to be avodim and to be independent. Matzah is, the Maral says, fascinating. Matzah is, it doesn't need anything else. There's no outside, there's no sa'or. It doesn't need to wait, and it doesn't need an outside ingredient to make it what it is. It's fully independent. That's an interesting way of looking at it. And that's what it is. And when we get out of Mitzrayim and we're Avdei Hashem, and we really learned this in the Chayvus Halvodas too, as a mile of bitachon. If you remember the Psicha, he talks about one of the qualities of bitachon is that Hashem wants us to be independent thinkers, and he doesn't want us to be meshubit to styles, or meshubit to conventional wisdom, or meshubit to the way people seem to live their lives, and then we'll be dragged along with them. He wants us to have our own sense of self, our own sense of values, not legabe him. The only perspective through which we don't have a sense of self is legabe the Hashem. We're supposed to totally self-negate, which means, it's not just a word, which means, you know, as much as we can, we work on this. We want to do the will of Hashem. We really don't want to do our own will, or our will is to do the will of Hashem. That's what we aspire to. But in every other area, self-negation is not a good thing. Self-negation, we want to develop our own values. You want to live your life. You don't want to live your neighbor's life. You don't want to live the life of those who would impose the way they see things onto you. You want to be an independent thinker. And according to the morale, that's the message of the matzah. Because the matzah doesn't need anything else. Matzah is complete and whole in its simplest ingredients. It doesn't need outside forces to make it what it is. Okay, we'll stop here. I didn't scratch the surface of what I thought I would do. We have Moror, we have the Korban Pesach, we have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What should we do? I don't know. Okay.
We'll postpone next year. For a few more weeks.
What?
Postpone Pesach.
Well, we can make another base. Another base. We can make another base. But since the Gemara says that once it's Nisan, it's too late. Even Sanhedrin couldn't make other days. Next Sunday night we'll be looking for Chametz. Okay. Tell the Chacham what?
When does the Rav want to resume?
Well, I'm ready. You don't want to do the Sunday after Pesach? Okay.
The boys are still home.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll give Mrs. Manrick some time to gather up a new crowd of people. So we'll start. So we have a calendar, just to be clear. And it's not the Sunday after Pesach, but the Sunday after that. That's all. We'll take a break. We deserve a vacation from me.
So
wait, let me just be clear. Not the Sunday of Tazria Metzora, but the Sunday that the following Shabbos is Achrimos Kedoshim. Dalet Iyar. Right. Erev Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Right.
Okay. Have a chakosh of Sameach. Try to rest before the Seder. At least in America, you have the we have the second Seder. We sleep through the first, and we have the second Seder. Here you get one chance. I think.